Everyone, today is Tuesday, September 15th. This is the regularly scheduled monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ted Eswan.
Here.
Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick.
Raymond Sadlick's excused this evening. He's still working.
Wow. Stephen Jalowick.
Steve's on vacation this week. He's also excused. Karen.
Okay. Albert Miskiewicz.
Here.
Cynthia Znopek.
Here.
Dave Kupchansky. Glenn Stevens. No Dave, no Glenn.
I spoke to Dave earlier. I think he should be joining us. He's probably trying to figure that out.
Dave is admitted he's probably connecting through. I see his icon there, so I don't know. Dave, are you on?
Yeah, I see his icon there. I don't hear him, though. Okay, we'll move along. Dave's in here. Hopefully he can hear us. Dave, can you hear us?
It looks like we also have City Engineer Ryan McAvoy, Corporation Counsel Barbara Schlesenberg, and Building Inspector Carlos Sarmiento.
And Drew's on here too.
And Chief of Staff Andrew Backlick. Thank you.
Okay. I resorted to sending Dave a text to see if he's in, but he hasn't responded, so he's probably experiencing operating difficulties. But for the record, we do have a quorum. Let's see what else. Okay, we'll go to item number four, additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. Let the record state, I don't have any. Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, Dave's in. Okay, you got that, Karen?
Yes, I got it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Oh, we can actually see Dave this time. Good job, Dave. Additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. I do not have any this evening. Item number five, communications. I do not have any for the record this evening. Karen?
Can we go back?
Never
approved the August 18th minutes at the last meeting. You tabled it. Do you want to add that to the agenda?
Okay. Good catch, Karen. I would like to add to the agenda under number seven, approval of minutes, 8:25 special meeting and 8:18 monthly meeting to the agenda. I make that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Is there any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Al, Raul, Dave, you're off. Al, Raul, you got to get off mute. You're still muted. Okay.
I seconded
Cindy,
it.
Cindy, you're still muted.
I seconded
Aye.
It.
Okay. Just want to make sure you're all here and you can hear.
Yeah.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. We'll add that. Good catch, Karen. Five communications, as I stated, we do not have any. Number six, public portion. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to address the commission at this time?
I do.
Go ahead, yeah. Tom.
Hi, Tom Linetti, 79 Sunset Drive, Derby, Connecticut. I had a couple of weeks to weigh over some of the things that were bothering me about this application for this road, for this easement. Well, first of all, I'd like to say this. The engineer from Ansonia said that there's 60% of the water goes to Derby and 40% to Ansonia. I am not an engineer, but I did go up there when we had this horrendous downpour. And it seemed to me that it's like 70% water washing from Ansonia and about 30 from Derby. We have a couple catch basins on Sunset Drive. So with that being said, I'm questioning that Derby is 60-40, like he said. The second concern I have is a gravel road. I think we should put there instead of asphalt. If it's going to only be an emergency, we don't need asphalt. We can use rock. My question is, when was the last time Ansonia had an emergency where they had to get out of the lot? I don't think it's ever happened in 12 years or how many years Ansonia has been there. Then I also heard that they said the fire trucks cannot make the turn on Crestwood Road in Ansonia. Again, I took a walk up there on the path, and it's so easy to take these, which they already started, taking trees down, that they can go on Crestwood with no problem. If they can't make that turn, they shouldn't actually be driving a fire truck. Take a ride up there and look at it. There's plenty of room for them to turn. My concern about paving the road is once you pave this, this is now an access way to get in and out. Now they say they're going to keep the gate closed. I don't believe that. I think the buses that pick up the children at Ansonia High School right now, they come in one way, they're going to want to go exit on this road. And I could be dead wrong, but this is what I'm afraid of. I'm also afraid of the young kids there drinking, having parties, because now it's paved and it's someplace for them to go and hide. What else did I have here? Well, I guess that's about it. I am dead against it. And thank you, Teddy, for being on our side up here, the neighbors. And as a matter of fact, this afternoon, I got a knock on the door, and two women were having a petition. So the residents do not want that being asphalted. Crestwood would be an ideal place. And I rest my case on that. It's easy in and out. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public?
This is Samantha Bergen. I am also on Sunset Drive 105. And I'd like to echo Tom's comments. Sunset is already used as an access road between Ansonia and Derby. We have a lot of traffic issues, people speeding, and I'm afraid, even though they say that the road's going to be, the access road will be closed off, I have some concerns about how traffic will be prevented. We have a lot of people driving dirt bikes around the neighborhood. I'm just afraid that having an access road will be additionally problematic for traffic on our road. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. Is there anybody else from the commission, from the public, who would like to address the commission at this time?
I would. I'm Karen Laney, 93 Sunset Drive. I forgot what I had to say. Sorry.
Yeah, well, her husband's here as well. We had the same concerns as Tommy and the other person. My wife is one of the young ladies that went around petitioning the neighbors to find out if they would like this opened or not. And there's actually quite a few that do not and sign that petition, and they will be sending it to City Hall and zoning and a few other people for that matter. And I'm sure they're going to get a lot more signatures because they just took a short walk today, but they're going to take a few more walks tomorrow and the day after to see if people on the hilltop mind if this is happening, because I know there's a lot that don't like the idea.
Oh, I know what I had to say now. What my point was too is, like, this is like the best part of Derby, the hilltop. And I feel like we're just going to, something like that's just going to ruin it. And this is the best area. When we moved here, we walked around to see what the neighborhood was like. And we just love it. A lot of people love it up here. I just don't want to ruin the city. It's just the best, to me, it's the best part of Derby. Just don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like it is Ansonia, and they are encroaching into our area now. And all it's going to take is one more meeting like this to unlock the key on the gate. And yep. then we got the traffic. So anything
that's
else?
It. No, that's it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you both. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time?
I would, if I could. Hi.
Go ahead.
I'm Lord Tafaro. My sister's Diane Demino. She lives on Sunset. I live on 141 Bradley Terrace, which is about maybe 100 feet from this trail. My main concern is not only traffic, but noise, property values going down. We're right there. I have my mom and dad live right next door to me, 143 Bradley Terrace. How much of their property is going to be encroached on? They're 8 feet from the fence to their front door. From that, you know, walkway. I mean, luckily for me, my child is older now. We have quite a few children in the neighborhood constantly biking down there. That was our safe place. This is the reason why we moved there, to have a dead end, to be in a quiet neighborhood. And I think that's gonna be really go to the dogs once the traffic, even if it's an emergency access, it's still gonna go to the dogs with the amount of flow going through there. And I totally get emergency vehicles. I'm, you know, work in a hospital, I get it. We want safety for our kids in Ansonia, we want safety for kids in general, but not at the cost of our quality of life. So, I mean, that's my point of view. You know, I mean, Derby could do a lot of things with money. I hope that it's not for capital, you know, for gains. I don't know what we're going to benefit by having them run through our part of the, you know, the hilltop. So, but thank you for listening.
Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public?
Yes, Karen Chemises.
Yes,
first,
Karen.
I'd like to ask thank the commission for extending this to this meeting. After seeing the plans, it's much easier to make comments on things. I would also like to say that all of the engineers that are involved in this project, I'm very familiar with over the decades that I've been involved in city politics. And I certainly find that their performances are exceptional, that they do fine work. My questions are not to the extent of concerns for the engineering part of it. I'm sure that all the calculations are perfect. My question is, why do we have to go in there? Why do we have to give a half an acre of land when you're going to be doing only 10,000 square feet, quarter of an acre? So I think that we should reduce the encroachment into Wittick Park very much more than what it is. It should probably align itself closer to the unimproved Coe Lane. I hear all of the people's concerns, and I don't disagree with them. I would rather not see this access road going in either. But as was pointed out last month, this is not something that you can act on. This is something that the Board of Aldermen has to act on. So I won't raise those concerns, but I will raise the concerns about the language in the easement. We are talking that for a dollar, we are giving Ansonia half of acre of land on that precious Wittick Park. And we're doing that, it's granted to the successors and assigned forever the permanent and exclusive right, privilege, and easement to pass on foot and by vehicles and use for all purposes for which a public way may be used, including but not limited, and so on and so forth. That language is going to allow a next generation to maybe come in and not understand our concerns, and they could do everything from parking a vehicle in there to using it for whatever they want to do, because we're saying, here, take this half acre of land and enjoy it. I believe that the language was probably written for the purposes of the construction of all of this work. And if that was the case, then it should be a construction easement and then have a more limited easement in terms of the perpetual use for ongoing maintenance down the line. So as Attorney Marino mentioned last time, he was trying to deal with the administrative hurdles. Well, I think that if we can improve this language, that would be one administrative hurdle that could be also improved before it goes to the Board of Aldermen. Again, I am not in favor of seeing any of this work done, but if it is done, we have to certainly protect ourselves far more than what we are doing now.
Thank you, Karen. Would anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time? Anyone else from the public?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
My name is Mark Garfalo, 95 Academy Hill Road. I'm also the town clerk. And I just had a couple items on the agenda that I would like to speak on regarding number 9A, 280 Caroline Street. Is it your intention to vote on this, or is this just going to be a general discussion?
It's a general discussion, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. All right, so I'd like to speak on that, to the construction of a six-family home in a what is a very small lot, and it lacks parking, and I just urge you to tread carefully as it relates to density in that neighborhood, especially with the lack of parking. If you drive down that street on a regular basis, as I have opportunity to do, you'll know that there is a severe lack of parking there, and increasing the density in our already dense neighborhoods where there's a lack of parking would just add to the stress on those neighborhoods. So I ask you to just very carefully consider that matter. The other item is item number 10B, regarding 117 Main Street, the Home Depot project. I'm not sure if you're going to continue that or act on that tonight, but I also want to raise a point in addition to what I had raised last month as it relates to the berm and the whatever the permanent plantings will be. I think we need two things need to be taken into consideration, that the cover of the type of plantings that will be there, they should be covering and be green all year long, not things that are seasonal, that'll be basically you'll be able to transparent for most of the year. So I ask you just to consider that, and also to refer back to the original approval in terms of the height of the berm, because it seems to me as though that the height of that berm was reduced when they took out the planting. So I just ask that be a consideration on that matter. And on item 10C, this 824 referral, I just want to reiterate my statements from last month and just add and encourage you to take into consideration the thoughts and concerns of the neighbors in that area and the impact that this type of referral will mean and its approval by the Board of Aldermen, because how you refer it to the Board of Aldermen will impact the amount of votes that are required for approval on the Board of Aldermen. And I echo Mrs. Kemis's concerns as it relates to the language in that easement, but that is more proper before the Board of Aldermen. Thank you to the members, Mr. Chair, for your consideration on the matter.
Thanks, Mark. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anyone else from the public?
Yes, Ted, one more thing.
Yeah, Tom, go ahead.
If you do vote on this tonight, is there any chance that you can do a roll call vote so we know who's voting how?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public? Anybody else? Okay, we'll close the public portion. We'll move on to item number 7, approval of minutes. Let's start with the 8/18 monthly minutes, which you've all received, which Karen spent the night putting a bunch of minutes together for us. I move that we approve the monthly minutes of the 8/18 meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded by Raul. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. The other one is the 8/25/2020 special meeting minutes. I move that we approve the minutes as submitted by Karen. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded by Al Mizowitz. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carried. We'll move on to item number 8, receipt of applications. 5 Spring Street, John Dantano, special exception use application to convert a single family to a two-family house. I move that we accept this application and schedule for a public hearing next month due to the fact that it is a special exception use. So it should be a public hearing scheduled for our regular monthly meeting next month. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Al. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, we'll set that for a public hearing for next month. Okay, new business. 280 Caroline Street. Informal discussion regarding request for a zoning certificate of compliance for a 6-family house. Is there somebody from the applicant here this evening?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe.
Yeah, Ryan. I wasn't sure whether Roger was going to show or not, and I can't tell if he's on or not.
No, my purpose for requesting this be added to the agenda tonight was very simple, in that there is a owner of a property in Derby that is currently a vacant piece of land where he is requesting that he be provided a zoning certificate of compliance for a 6-family house on his property at 280 Caroline Street. This property was last occupied by a 6-family house back as far as 1980 when it burned down and was subsequently demolished. The owner of the property has provided the city with relevant changes in state statute regarding the continuation of existing or prior non-conforming uses that specifically discuss intent to abandon. And I would offer that the information he's provided thus far, I would offer that it should be reviewed very carefully by staff, including myself, including Corporation Counsel. I don't believe that this is specifically a planning and zoning related item, because what he is asking for is would be handled typically administratively, whether either positively or negatively.
After reading it and all the information that he gave us, I tend to agree. Barbara, do you have anything to chime in now, or would you like to review this? Because I think it shouldn't squarely fall on the shoulders of Corporation Counsel and our city engineer to determine the outcome, because he's requested numerous times for a certificate of zoning compliance. And I'm not intent to give him one until it's reviewed by counsel.
I would like to have the opportunity to review it, because I haven't done so yet.
Okay. So with that being said, there's anything else, Ryan, or just I'd like to put that into Barbara's hands to review.
Yeah, I don't think he has specifically requested to construct anything at this time. He merely is requesting a zoning certificate of compliance.
Okay, but let me understand this. Requesting a certificate of zoning compliance for a 6-family house, that's an intent to me to market or sell or build himself a 6-family house. That's basically saying, yeah, we agree you can build a 6-family house there, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then I move that we table this
requires a motion. Yeah.
For next month. I don't know if it requires a motion because it's an informal discussion, but I think Barbara should review this before we should move forward. And we should carry it till next month.
And I would also add that the zoning regulations with respect to abandonment of non-conforming uses may not necessarily, because certainly based on your regulations, it would be considered an abandoned use based on the amount of time that has passed. But I think what the owner is suggesting, that state statute might supersede or may...
That's correct. Yeah. There definitely has to be intent to abandon. regardless of what the zoning regulations say.
Right, and since Barbara hasn't really reviewed this in its fullest, I suggest that we move this to next month and we give Barbara the opportunity to review all the documents that she has to come back with an official Corporation Council ruling as to how to proceed with this person's request. That sound fair? Ryan, Barbara?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, yes. Got it. Okay. We'll move on to 9B, 90 Main Street, Life Touch. Informal discussion regarding project plan for Life Touch site. Joe, you're in the dark now, Joe. There you go. Much better.
I was outside.
We saw you getting darker and darker and darker. Okay, you want to talk about a bit about your intent? I forwarded all the information that I did have to all the committee members.
Oh, sure. Yep. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members and members of the public. Our intent for 90 Main Street is to develop and construct a 70-unit market-rate apartment building in the corner of Main and Factory. It's going to consist of mostly one-bedroom units, a couple of two-bedroom units, and studios. That seems to be the big market demand, according to the studies. And we're looking forward to working with Derby, continue to work with Derby. You guys have been great to work with. The administration has been very helpful. Zoning board has been very helpful as well. And we're excited and getting ready, excited to hopefully be the start of a whole development segue into the downtown Main Street area and begin a what we hope to be a combination of exciting and new construction of retail and residential.
Just to make a note, Joe, I would like personally, I see the old Life Touch building is coming down if it's not down already. So I'd love to see a shovel in the ground. I've seen enough 20 years of taking buildings down. So I look forward and welcome putting something up in some place downtown Derby. So I'm pretty excited to see what you have coming forward.
No, thanks. We're excited as well. We put some time and effort into the design. Our engineer and architect and engineers, we wanted to make sure that it's going to have a new modern type look rather than the colonial, you know, vinyl siding. We're really, really looking for a different look, a very attractive look. I think the city's going to, really like what we propose. And if you don't, let me know. We'll certainly.
Okay. We absolutely look forward to it, and that'll all the details will come out in the process, which I know that you guys are excited to get started. Any preliminary comments for the developer from the commission members? Because this is kind of like an informal discussion.
I did have a comment, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Raul.
Just taking a quick look at the site plan, and I know we're not exactly sure what's going to happen with Route 34. But is that entrance going to be right in, right out, or are you going to be able to cross over 34? I know that you're up against the stop sign to get onto Route 8 as far as your entrance location, but is that going to be any kind of hindrance, you think, depending on what exactly happens with the median and 34 widening?
Is that to me or is that to the engineer?
Your engineer can answer
it was,
that.
It was to you,
doesn't
Joe.
Matter, Joe.
Okay.
It was to you.
Yeah, Raul, it's not the ideal layout. I would prefer a couple of other scenarios, but it certainly works. And, you know, if the city has something else that we'd like to discuss or different ideas, then we're certainly open for suggestions that might cleaner, smoother access and, you know, entrance and exit. If safety is an issue, then we certainly want to make sure that that's top priority as well. Okay. It does work though.
Okay. Anything else, Raul? Anything else preliminary from the commission members? Just to talk to Joe or engineer, just, I know it's not a formal application at this point in time, but I know he wanted to come. He requested that he come before the board just to give a heads up as to, hey, this is coming. Just want to get your input or any member's input ahead of time if you have anything to say to him before he applies for next month. Anything at all? Okay, Joe, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it, and we look forward to it.
I do as well. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Yes, sir, Mark.
Mr. Sanchez referred to a site plan, so if you have that, if you could just forward it so we can comply with
Absolutely.
The governor's executive order.
Sure.
It was not forwarded with the other stuff that was
sure.
to be posted, so if you could.
Absolutely.
If someone could send that, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. No problem. Okay, item number 10A, 49 Burtville Avenue, complaint of zoning violation, discussion and possible action. I did receive a note from the owner's attorney that he will be out of town this week, and he asked for an extension into in writing into next month's meeting if we can table it and discuss it at the October meeting.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, David.
What's the status of the report? Coming Ryan? From the Corporation Council and the city and the planner.
Barbara, Ryan?
I can answer that, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Thank you, Dave, for the question. When we got the request in from Attorney Thomas, I spoke with the chairman, Chairman Eswan, and we decided at that point that we would have a little bit extra time to put together a report regarding the history of the property, given time constraints. So. That is not prepared at the moment, but we do expect to have it prior to the next meeting.
How quickly do you expect that before the next meeting?
I hope well in advance of a week prior to the meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Any other comments from any commission members? Okay, we'll move on to item number 10B, 117 Main Street, Home Depot. Continued discussion on the removal of trees along Main Street. Is there somebody here from the applicant to address the commission at this time?
Mr. Chairman, again, I had correspondence from the landscaping company that performed the removal of the trees, and they informed me that they have reached out to a couple different design professionals in order to assist in providing a site plan that was requested by the commission. They have reached out to a number of different design professionals, including the engineer, I'd say most responsible for the development of the original plan. I do not believe that they've been able to put together a site plan application at this time, but I would recommend that we give them another month to put one together. And if one is not forthcoming, then we can discuss other alternatives, other actions the commission may wish to take.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Ryan,
when is the planting season considered over?
The planting season generally ends in mid-October. So yeah. I don't think if an application were forthcoming that they would have been able to really get something healthy in the ground before the end of the season at this point anyway.
So we won't see anything planted there until spring at the earliest?
Unless the Home Depot decides to simply replant what was already previously approved by this commission, no.
Okay. My comment to that, Ryan, would be, you know, I'd rather do it right than wrong. And they do have a couple of things to take into consideration. And one is the original approval. I don't believe, I know Mr. Garfalo mentioned that it looked like that it was taken down. You can see where the trees were cut, and it doesn't appear that the berm was taken down a bit, but they're fully aware from our last meeting that there is a protective covering in the berm, so they should be aware of that. But again, I'd rather have it done right and the way we want it as opposed to something that's haphazard, the way they originally intended with their preliminary plans to plant things, because that is in no way, shape, or form conducive of what we agreed to from the beginning. So I'd rather go, in my opinion, I'd rather go with a barren and do it in the spring and do it right then have them rush and plan things that A, will either die, or B, are not approved by this commission. Because to me, that requires a site plan to come before this commission. And I think if we don't have one next month, given the 60 days to find a landscape architect to design something, is more than enough time for them to come before us with an application. And if you do have any correspondence with them, Ryan, between now and then, I'm willing and totally available to have a special meeting so they submit something, if we can get it, that you think would meet the approval of this commission to get it in the ground. But if not, I'd rather wait to do it right. That's just my opinion. Okay. All right, item number 10C, 824 referral from Board of Aldermen. Easement in favor of the City of Ansonia for work they are performing on Coe Lane, continued discussion and possible action. Is there somebody from the applicant to address the commission at this time?
Ted, I'm sorry.
Hey, Don. Hey, Andrew, yes.
Sorry, before you go on to this item, can I just say one thing about Home Depot? I'm sorry.
Sure.
Object. I just wanted to clarify something because there were some reports that came out after last month about overdoses and some pretty nasty things that were described by the landscaper themselves, the third party landscaping company. So upon further discussion, we had the chief of police look back at all the incidents of crime there. And we had the health department who tracks overdoses and things like that. There was really no truth to that. So unfortunately that was the headline. And I think it grabbed a lot of negative attention for Derby that we don't need. There was no incident of drug overdose doses or confirmed drug use or arrests on site there. It could have been as simple as you have a diabetic person walking from the bus station to the train station, throwing their needle in the woods. I'm sure it could have been more than that, but we have no confirmed reports of drug use or abuse on site there or any arrests. So I just want to clarify that for the public, because again, we don't need any more negative press than what's already out there. So just wanted to clarify that. No incidents of that over the last 6 to 8 years that anybody could see going far back.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Okay, Don, it's up to you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. For the record, Donald Smith Jr., professional engineer with an office at 56 Greenwood Circle in Seymour, here representing the City of Ansonia and Ansonia Public Schools. In the matter of an easement on Coe Lane, improvements to Coe Lane in Ansonia, and a stormwater easement in Derby. On the call with us tonight is Robert Evans, the Director of Facilities for Ansonia Public Schools. I just want to reiterate, we did go back and, we heard the comments raised last week, or last 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, and went back and had some internal discussions, reviewed the application or reviewed the proposal. Basically, the access way will continue to function as it currently does now, except that it would be accessible, unlike it is right now. Right now, that accessible is a gravel surface access way. And due to the amount of stormwater that's directed down that accessway or down that roadway, it's severely eroded and not suitable for either emergency vehicles or passenger vehicles, any vehicle. So the proposal is to improve the surface to a paved surface, and that would accommodate the drainage. It would still be gated at Sunset Drive and Coe Lane, as it currently is now. We're really glad to hear that it's, hardly ever been used, if ever been used, in the past 20 years. We hope it doesn't need to be used, but good planning tells us we need an emergency access out the back of the school in the event of an incident at the school's driveway and Pulaski Highway. So it will be a locked, gated accessway. Ansonia High School is subject to a traffic certificate from the Office of the State Traffic Administration of the Department of Transportation, due to the number of parking spaces on the high school property and the number of square footage, the amount of square footage of the building. So it's subject to a, OSTA is the acronym for it, OSTA certificate. So there is no just, oops, we forgot to close it, or oops, it got unlocked and it's now a regular driveway. It's a designated emergency access way with the state traffic authority. So if it does happen to get left open, right, crazier things can happen. The city would be in violation of their state traffic commission certificate. So a call to the STC or ASTA would resolve that, but that's not the intention. The intention is to use the site driveway to Pulaski Highway. This access way would be limited use, only in use for an emergency or some kind of an incident at the school that needed emergency vehicles accessing the back parking lot, or for some reason, students needing to exit the property, because Pulaski Highway is the site driveway at Pulaski Highway is choked up. We believe this proposed location provides for the best access for regional response to the back of the high school. Theoretically the access way could be served off of Crestwood, but then Crestwood has the same choke point on Pulaski Highway. And if there's already an incident on Pulaski Highway at the site driveway, emergency vehicles are not going to be able to go up past the site driveway to get to Crestwood. So we believe that the access way coming into Coe Lane actually doubles, provides four possible entrances to get to this access way. One from Sunset Drive, and then you have North Coe, Finney, and Farrell Drive. All that could be provided access to it. We did look at the actual easement area, and if you would, if I can share my screen, I'll show you some
Sure, go ahead, Don.
We were able to minimize the amount of easement area. Okay, Karen is correct. The easement is approximately a half acre, about 25,000 square feet, and as originally indicated, was following along this outer line here, just basically straight easier lines. We could take and bring the limits of that easement in a little bit closer, certainly, to this red area here. This part around the outside would stay. This end could trim off a little bit. We could probably reduce that easement area down to about 17,000 square feet. So instead of a little over half acre, it would only be about 4/10 of an acre. And if I can just move this up. Okay, so when I showed you this map last week, this is a portion of the property survey of Whittock Park. You'll see there's a max line here, so this is really only half of it. Academy Hill is down here, and the outlet by Academy Hill is in the upper left corner of the screen. The red area here is basically the outline of that easement. And again, that easement would contain a riprap swale and a level spreader that would then be discharge the flow in a controlled manner. And basically, anybody that's gone up there will see that the runoff is coming down Coe Lane and it takes a left turn and it runs down into the woods and then it runs down into the wetlands in Whittock Park. So what we're looking to do is stop the erosion, put it in a controlled outlet that's been engineered. Your city engineer has reviewed the drainage calcs that were prepared for the application. So you've got two PEs that have reviewed the drainage calcs. So, the 60-40 split is the number. Okay. It's 60% Derby, 40% Ansonia. We believe that this is the reasonable solution. this is going to function as it currently does, except it's going to be usable in the event of an emergency. And we have considered, the comments of the public. I mean, this is not going to be opened up to traffic. You know, traffic, noise, property values will ruin the city. You know, that's not the proposal that's on the table. This is not a new driveway for the high school. This is an emergency access way, defined and approved by the state traffic authority as an emergency access way. So it just can't get left open. As far as the actual easement language, yes, we leave that up to the attorneys. I did not see the actual easement language, but yes, there's a construction easement and an easement for, future maintenance. So we can reduce the area of that easement, as I've indicated, but that's about it. So we believe that the application that's for this road, the design of this is correct and proper and in everyone's best interest.
Okay, Donna, I do have a couple of questions on the application. Just based on, look, we have a similar situation, so I understand this with traffic flow, because actually at Derby High School, we gated and actually cut off a paved road, which is Nutmeg Avenue, and it's emergency access only, and we put a gate across an existing road. So this would be no different than that. There's a road that's there that is pretty much closed, and I can't remember it ever being open. And we did a similar situation in the town of Derby, so I understand that. Colane, is that entirely in Ansonia, or does that cross over to Derby anywhere?
Colane is entirely in Ansonia.
Okay. So the drainage area where you want to disseminate the drainage, the bigger area, is that in any shape or form in Derby, or is that all in Ansonia?
The drainage easement itself is in Derby.
I understand that, but where you have the collection of the drainage, is that in Derby or Ansonia?
Where we have the collection of the drainage.
City of Derby, Ansonia. You brought it bigger, so now I can read it. Sorry.
I'm just getting in here. So this the line right here, okay, this is right. The right-of-way line. Okay. So that's the line. City of Ansonia is to the north. The city of Derby is in the south. So the entire length of the road, Cole Lane itself, is in Ansonia. The stone wall, basically on the south side of Cole Lane, is in essence the street line or the town line between, this is the house that's at the corner of Bradley Terrace.
Right.
And here's that stone wall. Here's that street line. So, this is the street line with the city of Ansonia and the city of Derby. Let me just zoom this in a little bit. I spoke of this previously, but just to be certain and just to clarify. This property owner that's at the corner of Bradley Terrace, he does not actually have frontage on Cole Lane. Okay, his property line is right here, and you can see we found a monument. His property line is right here. The city of Derby actually has about a 10-foot wide strip over to the stone wall. So this area in here is city of Derby. And then from that stone wall, basically to the stone wall on the north side, is city of Ansonia. And Cole Lane itself, the entirety of the travel way of Cole Lane is in the city of Ansonia, from here all the way up to Sunset Drive.
All right. That's one of the things I wanted to clarify. I like the reduction of the easement area and the clearing area, because to Karen's point, the less easement you have and tightening that up to what you really need is the less disturbance of Wittick Park, because Wittick Park is very near and dear to the residents in Derby.
Understood.
So we're trying to protect that as much as possible. With the understanding that you can just pave Cole Lane and let the runoff continue and the erosion continue and keep it gated. And we as residents have no say. It's really rests with the Board of Aldermen, especially with the easement length. She brought up a point about the easement language also, which I'm concerned about. But correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan or Barbara, that's not the intent of this commission at this time, nor is it under the jurisdiction of this commission at this time, correct?
Well,
Ryan, Barbara,
yeah, I think with any 824 referral, you can either have a positive vote for what's or a negative vote.
Right. That I understand.
I believe you can also provide recommendations within that referral, but either your vote is up or down.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. That's right. And if there's something that you don't like, that you're not approving of, and you're going to give a negative referral, you need to state your reasons very clearly. So you could state what it is that you have an objection to and what it is that you don't have an objection
to. Well, that's what I'm trying to drive at, because we have no jurisdiction over the roadway in Colleen. That's what I was trying to ask their city engineer, is we have no jurisdiction over their road. That's like them coming over and saying, well, you can't build a house on David Humphrey's Road. Well, you can't tell us what to do in our town. I understand that. So if the referral is a negative referral, then I want to be clear, the reasons are something we can send to the Board of Aldermen that they have jurisdiction over. Like, one, the easement clearing rights. Number two, the actual language in the easement itself. Okay, so those are, again, if that's the case, then I want to make sure whatever notes that we send back to the Board of Aldermen in our referral are something that we have jurisdiction over. And that's the point I'm trying to drive at. Okay.
Right, but I think that you can give whatever reasons you believe are significant if you're going to have a negative referral. I think you can tell the Board of Aldermen whatever you want.
And Barbara, correct me if I'm wrong, but if they issue a positive referral, could they also provide for recommendations that they would like to see included in the final documentation?
I guess you can. The statute doesn't really talk about providing, the statute just talks about giving reasons for a negative referral, but I suppose you can give recommendations.
And that's what, to
but
me,
you
we have.
But if there's a negative referral, you have to give your reasons for it.
Okay. Difference. All right. And that's what I'm trying to, again, that's what I'm trying to drive at. I'm trying to protect the integrity of Wittick Park, because to me, the way I look at it, and if I'm wrong, then you have to tell me I'm wrong, that we can say what we want about Coal Lane, but we have no jurisdiction over that. We really don't. We could tell the Board of Aldermen we don't like the access there, but if the Board of Aldermen says, you know what, it's not in the city of Derby, we have no control over that, but I understand some of the other reasons you put, I want to know what actually holds weight and that they'll listen to or understand and what doesn't. Because once it leaves us, it leaves us. Am I correct? There's no second kick at this cat. Once the 824 referral leaves us, it's gone. It's up to
right.
It firmly rests on the shoulders of the Board of Aldermen.
Correct. And it's just going to be a difference in whether they can do it by a simple majority vote if they want to, or they're going to have to do a two-thirds vote if it's negative. If it's a negative referral, that's the only difference. Of course, they could vote it down as well, either way. That's their prerogative.
So we're talking, just so I understand the numbers, we're talking five or six votes. It's either five votes or six votes, because it's the membership is nine, correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mark.
So that, yes, you'd be correct then.
Okay.
That's
all right.
The number. Yep.
That's why I'm trying to drive the point at, I want to make sure that whatever referral we do send to the Board of Aldermen is something that matters, that they can understand that is within their control. Because I don't want to say, well, geez, I don't want to raise it. I have a problem with cars racing up and down Pulaski Highway. They're going to say, well, that's not in your town. You can't say that. I want whatever referral. I'm trying to drive whatever referral we do make as a commission is something that they can take into consideration.
Yes, I mean, obviously you should be concerned with what's going on in Derby.
Correct. That's what I'm driving at. That's what I'm trying to drive at. Where is the boundary? Where is the clearing lines? If you reduce the amount of the easement, does it reduce, you know, does it reduce the amount of clearing? It clearly would. So that's what I'm driving at. Okay.
Just to be clear, if I could, Teddy, the reduction in the easement area did not have any effect on the clearing limit.
Okay.
You know, this curly line here, just along in front of the red line, that is the clearing limit. So we would only be clearing, you know, between here. We would not have been clearing this whole triangular section up here.
Thank you for the clarification.
The clearing limits would be staying the same, and it's the easement area. And again, we're not looking for the property in fee simple. It's simply an easement over the top of it. It's still City of Derby property, but it's an easement to construct and, you know, be able to maintain a drainage outlet.
Okay, so one of the things brought up, you know, the easement that we would be giving, you know, one of the comments made by one of the residents were, can that be a less intrusive easement where like it's a construction easement. It's an easement for the construction. But again, that's not something that I believe is in our control, but it's something that we can send as a referral back to the Board of Aldermen to relook at the language in the easement is what I'm driving at, I guess, Barbara.
Right. Well, that I think under those circumstances, then if you're not satisfied with the way it stands, it's a negative referral and you're giving the reasons why.
Exactly my point. Yep. That's what I'm driving at. Thank you. Okay. Any comments from our engineer or anybody on the board? Does anybody have any comments for Don Smith on the board? Yes, Raul.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yes. I have some questions and comments. I hate to play hypotheticals, but let's just say Coe Lane, as it stands in Ansonia, gets paved with no easement in Derby. Does that make the erosion worse in Derby because the rain has a runway now to go down the road and spill into Derby? I know it's a hypothetical, but I mean, in theory, it would be worse, correct?
I'll leave it to the professionals to answer that. If you want our engineer or their engineer, we have two engineers
I'll take a stab at that first, Raul, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman. And really, that's a great question, Raul. If there were no drainage improvements made and the road was simply paved, I would imagine that what we'd find is increased velocity and runoff coming down Coe Lane, perhaps less sedimentation or erosion of the surface, but certainly higher velocities coming down the road. And it is incumbent upon Ansonia, if they're making any formal improvements like this, to provide for adequate stormwater measures to eliminate any erosive potential. I believe that the plan that they've put forth meets that standard. And if this drainage improvement swale level spreader that fall within Derby were not proposed as they currently are, I would argue that there is more potential for erosion within Whittock Park with simply paving Coe Lane. And I'll also ask Don Smith to weigh in that as well.
I think that's probably a proper response. Is that, you know, you may have less erosion in Coe Lane, but once the water exits Coe Lane, you would still have erosion occurring.
Right. So there is no benefit at all to just doing a paving of Coe Lane. So and Bradley Terrace. Bradley Terrace is a dead end now. And it looks like the boulders were indicated on the site plan. The boulders are in Ansonia. Would those boulders just be moved, or would Bradley Terrace still remain a dead end? How would that configuration work as far as ending Bradley Terrace?
Both Bradley Terrace and Crestwood Drive would not have access to Crow Lane as it currently does not, as currently exists. I would have to get to a different drawing here. So the boulders that you're referring to at the end of Bradley Terrace actually reside in Ansonia. Okay, this dark line here with the two dashes, this dark line here, that's that town line right there. You better watch out because there's about a foot of pavement on Bradley Terrace that's over the line. But these are the boulders that are currently there. Because there's a new utility pole that had to be set, the boulders probably get a little bit closer to Bradley Terrace, just to accommodate the roadway.
John, can I interrupt you for 1 second? I don't think the view that we see on our screen migrated over the other sheet. You're still on the same sheet that shows.
Sorry, let me, I got to go back out.
Correct.
Yeah, let me go back out. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
It's okay.
Sorry, how about now? Is that Bradley Terrace? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot. Yes. I got to stop sharing and open it again.
Yes.
So, and were you able to see the drawing that I had before with Wittet Park?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. But here's Bradley Terrace again. Here is that the street line. The boulders, as they currently exist, are the lighter gray on the back edge here. And then to get them just a little bit further off the proposed curb line, they are shifting a little bit to the south, a little bit closer to Derby, but they're still within the limits of Coal Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is, the runoff from Bradley Terrace. There are a couple of catch basins, 100, 150 feet up Bradley Terrace. But the end of Bradley Terrace and that turnaround area, that all comes down to a leak off right here in this corner and then comes down into Coal Lane and then combines with the runoff that's coming down from Sunset. And then, from Bradley Terrace down is the really eroded section area.
Mm-hmm. And one more comment, I think. Someone from the public mentioned that the gate has never been unlocked, or rarely, if ever, has it been unlocked. So my question is, why would paving a road cause that gate to be unlocked more frequently if, it really is for, and thankfully it's been for infrequent emergencies and it's hardly been opened. So I'm not sure why paving Coal Lane would increase the occurrence of that gate to be, or the necessity for that gate to be unlocked.
I guess we would agree with you, and having that paved would make no difference on whether that gets unlocked or locked. Having it paved addresses the stormwater issue that's creating erosion that makes that access way unusable in the event that it needed to be. Believe me, we all hope that that never has to be used for any kind of an incident, but there have been times when there's been an accident at the high school driveway and Pulaski Highway. Obviously, when kids are leaving school, somebody got a little ahead of themselves, but then they're all blocked in. So it would be a very limited use, only in the event of an emergency, some kind of an accident, some kind of an incident, and it would be monitored. It's not just going to be left open to be a free-for-all. There'd be some kind of an incident that requires it to be open to be used, and it would not just be, go open that and send the kids out that way. There would be personnel there to control that and monitor it, I guess. So it's, again, the purpose of the project is that the access way would function the same as it does now as a locked and gated emergency access. The only thing we're trying to do is make sure that it is usable at all times and address the stormwater issue that is creating erosion, creating sedimentation into Whittick Park. So it's really a win-win all the way around. We're solving a problem there and creating a benefit for in the event that there's an incident. I just can't see that it's any kind of a detraction to the neighborhood. It's not, you know, there's a state traffic authority certificate on it. And it does not, it's clearly states emergency access way only.
Okay, Ryan, I do have a question for you. Ryan, in Bradley Terrace, in judging by the plans here, and Raul brought up the point, doesn't change. It's still the cul-de-sac. It's still a dead end. Like it was before, we're just moving the boulders at the end. The clearing and the easement and the catching of the water and disseminating it stops further erosion in our Whittick Park on the Derby side. Is that correct? Is that a correct statement?
I would agree with that statement. The measures that they're putting in place, I believe, will significantly reduce long-term erosion in Whittick Park.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. Raul?
Probably to defeat the purpose of putting in a second gate, that would probably is not a feasible idea for the public's concern as far as extending Co-Lane and making it some sort of, you know, new road to explore for the high schoolers from their parking lot to the gate. It would be no benefit. I mean, it would cause for another hindrance to be opened in the event of an emergency. So a second gate closer to the high school parking lot probably isn't a viable option.
I thought about that also, Raul, about having it gated more towards Ansonia High School, the entrance, so everybody understands that you can't even go down that road. But if you, yes, it's, I would think an emergency situation, it's another gate that has to be opened. So you wouldn't want to do that. And it's purposely stated that this is emergency access only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just one more comment that, it seems we're always dealing with drivers and speed and frequency and hoping for accidents not to occur in certain locations. I mean, we've had that discussion with just about every application going back to Red Raider Plaza and Lowe's with the left turn in, or, you know, people making illegal left turns. You know, I understand, you know, everybody wants to be on a quiet street, but I mean, For us to be having the stead of finding safe drivers, that's just not in our realm.
I agree, and that's why I was driving at earlier too. What can we look? Everybody wants to legislate on rumors and what could have or should have or it might turn into or what might happen. We can't, you know, that's not something for us to legislate on. But I wanted to just bring up the points so that they're well taken, like the wording in the easement, the easement in cutting down the limits from a quarter or a half an acre down to 17,000 square feet. You know, I'm trying to drive at something that we have control over or somewhat control over. So that's why I wanted to make that clear. And I just want to see, is there any other commission members or anybody from our staff that would like to comment at this time?
I would, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, David.
The easement that we're granting to the city of Ansonia is exclusive and permanent and for all purposes. That language seems to preclude an opportunity for Derby to gain access into Whittick Park through that easement area. I would like to see that language amended to give Derby the rights of pass and repass in case we need an emergency access way into the back of Whittick Park. I don't think it's too much to ask. And I think that it's important enough. Perpetuity is a long time. And we don't know what the future is going to bring for that park. But by granting this easement, we're giving up about 400 feet along Coe Lane to get access into that wooded area.
Okay.
Maybe Barbara would like to comment.
Barbara, I'd like you to comment on, because I have comments on that, but I don't know if they're legit or not. So I'd rather have it come from legal than myself.
Well, I have not looked at the precise language of the easement. The concern is, from what I'm hearing, that it's given them the right, but it's specifically says that they only have the exclusive right to use it.
Yes.
All right. Well, then Dave is raising a legitimate point.
Okay.
I mean, normally, if there's an easement that would give somebody the right to use the property, that doesn't necessarily have to exclude the property owner from also using the property. So, yes, it would depend on the language.
And as Karen brought up earlier, something like a temporary construction easement would be more in line than an exclusive permanent easement in perpetuity, as David just brought up.
Well,
is that correct,
I do
Dave?
Believe.
Correct.
I do believe you would want a easement in perpetuity for the purposes of maintaining the drainage component.
But okay, and then my question would be, but is that what the easement states? Because it's very simple. If we ask for something and it states something different, it's not what we asked for. So I would want to see that cleared up. Is that too much to ask, Barbara?
I mean, yeah, the commission has the discretion
to
make what, you know, what this is a report by the commission.
Right.
So you are giving, you know, again, this is not the final decision. This is the commission making a recommendation or not. And then it is ultimately up to the Board of Aldermen to decide.
Correct. Thank you. But attached with the referral or recommendation, we can add our concerns, correct?
Can, and you must, if it's a negative one. If it's a positive referral, you don't have to put your reasons. If it's a negative referral, you are required by statute to state your reasons. That's
okay. Even on positive referrals in the past, I've always stated reasons for the positive referral, so they understood why we were giving them the positive referral. Even though I didn't have to, from this commission, I've always sent it that way, so they understand why it's positive.
And that's fine. I'm just telling you, you know, from the point of view of the statute.
Okay.
I just want to make sure, in case it's negative, because you have to do it. There's nothing wrong with you, sir, you know, based on the practice you've had in the past. If you want to give your reasons for a positive referral, that's fine as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And if I
yes, Don.
Could, Ted, just to point out, you know, the easement area, within the easement area, there will be a, you know, a 3 foot wide by 2 foot deep riprap swale. So if you were coming up Whittick Park and trying to get to Coe Lane, okay, I would say just exclusive of what the easement is saying, you would have to go through and down across and then back up this 2 foot wide ripper, 3 foot wide riprap swale. So in terms of a vehicle crossing this, no, because it's a drainage swale, but once you got down through Coe Lane and they'll be able to access Whittick Park from the lower portion here where it's more flat. And, you know, emergency services from both communities have responded to injuries both in Whittick Park and Ansonia and also in Whittick Park in Derby, and also in Ansonia. So, you know, our hopes are that we would have better access with Coal Lane being improved for that, if there is any kind of an event there. You know, an emergency and for access, that's you know, people walk through there all the time. I mean, Coal Lane is an unimproved town road. The unimproved Coal Lane is an unimproved town road. So there's the okay. right of way.
All right. And again, this is not, just to be clear and so that everybody understands, this is not anything against these engineered plans, because we had two licensed PEs that are very capable. And Don, you've been before our board numerous times over my last 20 plus years of experience. And, you know, I would almost close my eyes to understand that these plans are done properly. And I'm sure our engineer would concur that. The situation we have at hand now is we have to send a referral to the board, and we're treading on 824 referrals that we've never treaded on in the past. And this is a negative referral. That's why I'm trying to get very specific about the connotation. So if I'm going to send a referral from our commission, I want to make sure it's the proper referral and it's something that we can legislate them to look at, or whether they do or not, but at least we've done our job. And that's why I'm asking Barbara so many questions to make sure if that's the case, what I'm trying to get the best avenue where they see what our concerns are, so they actually take a look at that. And the easement is definitely one of them in perpetuity, and the easement line that you're cutting down based on Karen's comments were something that protects the park. Because as far as the access, keeping Bradley still a dead end and what goes on, and everybody thinks it's going to be a raceway 10 years down in the future, I can't legislate on that in the future. I understand what we did at Derby High School. That's a road. That's a paved road. Nutmeg Avenue was a paved road right through. We put a gate right across it and we closed it down. And granted that every emergency access vehicle has bolt cutters and could cut them off, but that's because they have an emergency. Nobody's going to go out there and just cut them and then open it up and have a raceway through it. It hasn't happened at Derby High School, and I really don't expect it to happen at Ansonia, because it hasn't happened yet. But there is concern about drainage and runoff and erosion, that if we can get a better situation out of it, I'm all for that, provided we protect the town in other ways for concerns that we that the residents have brought up today. So that's just what I'm trying to drive at. So the referral that we do send is noted properly. That's all. And I hate to belabor this and beat it to death, but I want to do the right thing. Okay.
Regrettably, I did not see the actual easement document that the attorneys prepared.
And again, there's certain things that Barbara and Ryan have pretty specifically stated that are out of our hands and out of our control. And I understand that, but if we have seen it and we have comments for the Board of Aldermen, which is our legislative body in our town, I want to make sure we send that referral properly back to them. That's all I'm under. And again, that's why I wanted to make it very specific about a majority and a positive vote, and a supermajority and a negative referral was the difference between 5 votes to pass and 6 votes, which to me is nominal. Okay. It's real simple. Okay. So it's not like we need 7 and 12 votes and this is a big deal. So let's get it right. So to me, it's a non-event. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I believe it should be a positive referral, because it would address a current erosion, you know, correct an ongoing erosion and sedimentation issue. And if there are concerns over the actual language of the easement, then I think that's something that certainly the attorney should be able to work out, because it's a drainage easement to construct and maintain a drainage facility.
That's why I was very specific in saying, what are you asking for, which is what you're asking for, and what was actually reduced to the easement. If they're two different things, I think we should have some say in that, or at least comment on that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to stop sharing. I'll bring it back up if you want the drawings again.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your comments this evening, Don, and the comments from the public also. And the patience that Barbara and Ryan have with me just trying to get everything right. Okay. All right. Does the commission have any other questions for the applicant? Raul, and thank you for your questions this evening.
Mr. Chair, do you have anything else?
Of course you do. Great.
Yeah.
I'm giving myself a headache, so go ahead.
Are we going to table this till next month when we have more committee members? And number two, can Mr. Smith make those site plans available to us?
I don't see any problem with that. If some of our concerns allows Barbara, our corp counsel, to address with staff the wording in the easement, I don't see any problem if we table it until next month, because again, we want to do this right. And that's what I want to do. But if we get back something that's more in the lines of what, you know, addressing the questions and concerns that you had this evening, some of the residents had, and about Whittock Park itself, if we can kind of tighten that up and review the language, make changes if it has to be, et cetera, it gives them 30 days, then I have no problem tabling any action until next month. Absolutely not.
Well, the problem is that the statute gives 35 days.
35 days.
Okay. And I don't know if the executive order that extended decisions for 90 days would apply to this, because it's not a decision per se.
Well,
it's Barbara, a little bit different. So that's what concerns me.
The lack of a referral, positive or negative, from the commission is interpreted as a positive. Interpreted as a positive referral.
Right, that's okay. The problem. So unfortunately, because again, you know, we don't obviously have any guidance on the executive order, and it does talk about decisions, and that's my hesitation. I just don't know if a referral like this would be considered a decision. So I would say, to be on the safe side, that the decision has to be made within 35 days. Now, I know that this was first submitted when? At the last special meeting, what date was that? Because maybe there's time for another special meeting?
I don't think we'll have enough time for all the referrals. So since the final decisions of all this doesn't rest with this commission anyway, then I'm inclined to vote for a negative referral to the Board of Aldermen and put our concerns down in writing, so, and then move it on to the next level. So this way we don't run into time issues, because the last thing I want is to table something and find out we need a decision tomorrow. There is no way that anybody's going to review, change maps, et cetera, and get it back to this commission to me to review everything in front of them in a timely manner. I just say we had enough concerns this evening to send, and I'm all for sending a negative referral just to move it along and state our concerns and let the Board of Aldermen, which is the legislative body that deals with this, deal with it. And they can see our concerns in writing and they can understand it and they can move it along. That's fine. Any comments from any commission members?
Well, I think we all agree that this project has merits. You know, it's definitely addressing issues.
Yes. And
I know, Ted, you said before that you would give your reasons even on a positive referral.
Always.
And I don't believe that the residents are going to let the Board of Aldermen get through this without hearing from them at all. And I think that if you put your concerns even on a positive referral, that they're going to definitely be heard.
Again, and that's why I asked the question, Al, to address that, is what is the difference between a positive and negative referral? You know, because one side of me says, okay, this is positive. This is definitely going to help out the drainage issues that we have at Whittock Park and preserve Whittock Park. But we're, you know, Raul brought up the other point, is we haven't seen any language changes. It's just a wish list. We haven't seen the change in the plans, which is just a wish list. So, you know, am I inclined to send a negative referral and note those? Yeah, I'm inclined to do that, even though I really think it's positive in the drainage and easements, and anything that's negative about the roadway and anything, that's out of our control anyway. That's in Ansonia. I don't think we should be in the business to legislate something in somebody else's town like that. But if they're asking us for an easement, they brought up a good point. This is an exclusive easement, and that language needs to be taken a look at. And I think if we just send a positive referral, it'll be like any other referral, even if we note some reasons in it that we have concerns. I think it should be negative, so they should really take a look at this, because it is of merit on both sides, unless the commission feels otherwise.
Mr. Chairman, I think
yes, David.
Language needs to be included in that easement that retains the right for the city of Derby to pass and repass through that easement area, regardless of if there's a 2-foot swale there or whatever obstruction might be there. Derby would have to deal with crossing that at the time. But at least that we would have the right to do so to gain access into the rest of Whittock Park. It doesn't seem like it would be that difficult of a language change. I'm not sure if we could do that at this point in time, though, if we have enough.
I don't have a legal degree. That's not for us to say. That's what I keep driving at. It's not for us to say. It's not for us to legislate. It's us for to send a referral and the reasons why it's positive or negative. Period. That's all we're doing. At the end of the day, here, it's not an application before us, and it's not for us to legislate. It's
no, but of Alderman. The negative impact of this easement would be that Derby no longer has a right to enter into the property there. That's the negative part of this.
Right.
It's taking a right away from Derby that we currently have.
And Dave, I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's just how we send the referral to the Board of Aldermen so they address our concerns when it's not for us to legislate, it's for them. Well, so I just want to send that message in the proper manner, the proper channel.
And Barbara perhaps could answer this. Is it possible to send a positive referral with a caveat that, you know, whatever some of these conditions be met?
I would suggest that you can make a recommendation.
Yeah, that's what I mean. All we're doing anyway is a recommendation, Ryan.
Yeah, I think it's within the discretion of the commission to do it however it sees fit.
Okay, then again, to me, that's fine.
It is non-binding.
Right.
So
it's non-binding, but in the overall scope, I agree with Al. In the overall scope of this, it's a positive thing for us to have. But we do have some concerns. And if, again, sending a referral to the Board of Aldermen in a positive referral with our concerns, will that carry the same weight as a negative referral as our concerns? And that's pretty much what I'm asking. It's pretty simple. And if you're saying it doesn't matter, just attach our concerns to it, then I'm fine with that. Because it's not for us to legislate at the end of the day.
Well, it obviously matters when it comes to the votes. And
it's one vote. That's what I'm. Yeah.
It's only one vote. And, you know, clearly, listen, does it matter from a legal perspective? I don't think it matters from a legal perspective, but obviously a positive referral is more positive. A negative referral is more negative. I mean, that's just the nature of it. So it depends, I suppose, how much attention you want the Board of Aldermen to give this. That's up to the commission. nobody can say for sure how they are going to look at it. It's up to them.
Right. Because I don't, again, my opinion only is I don't think it's a negative thing that they're trying to do here. I think it's very positive. Okay. So I don't want to send a negative referral if that's what's the pleasure of the board, because we think it's a negative overall project. Overall, I think it's a positive project. There's some things I would like to see and this board would like to see tweaked. And Dave brought up a good point about the easement, and Karen brought up a good point about the easement area and reducing that. So I think right there are two important points that I'd like to see brought up. Anything else to me, it doesn't matter at this point. We have no control over it, but those we do.
What's the pleasure of the commission?
I think we're at the point.
Somebody should make a motion.
Okay, I understand. I'm just trying to get it the
right
way.
Obviously, have more discussion.
There's
involved.
A motion, a second, and a discussion, or further motions. Okay, then I move that we send a positive referral to the Board of Aldermen, but we also state in the referrals, like we have done in the past, that Derby retains the right of easement for Derby in perpetuity, and somebody looks at that language and does it give the exclusive rights to the city of Ansonia, and it precludes the city of Derby, number one. And number two, that the limits of the easement are reduced drastically, more along the lines of the redlined plan that Don Smith showed us this evening, to address Karen's concern about affecting more than a quarter of an acre or a half an acre, whatever it was in the land at Whittick Park, and reducing it down to roughly 17,000 square feet, which is a lot less. It might not mean a lot to the city of Ansonia, but it does to the residents of the city of Derby who treasure Whittick Park as their jewel. And I would make that motion with those two attachments to it. Is there a second? Yes, David. Say that again.
Could we call it rights of pass and repass?
Sure.
Can I take a stab at this?
Hold on. Okay. Wait a second. Is there a second? Hold on, Ryan. Okay. Seconded by Al Mizowitz. Okay, Ryan. Any discussions? And Ryan, we'll let you speak because you're staff. So go ahead. You and Barbara can speak.
I just want to take a stab at some language that might reflect what Dave and you are talking about.
Fine.
That the Planning and Zoning Commission's issue is a positive referral to the Board of Aldermen for the drainage easement. The commission also strongly recommends that the easement language be modified to allow for continued access to pass and repass for the city of Derby across the easement area. Additionally, the commission also recommends that the easement area be limited only to what is needed for the purposes of constructing and maintaining the drainage features within the city of Derby.
That sounds perfect. Dave? Yep.
Very well said. Thank you, Ryan.
Raul, does that address your concerns?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded by Al. Any further discussion on the motion?
Oh, you should make it clear that you're amending your motion.
Yes. Okay.
You're amending your motion, since Ryan's not a commission member, that you're amending your motion to include his comments.
I'm amending my motion to include the comments from our city engineer, Ryan McAvoy. Is there a re-second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Raul. Any discussion from any commission members? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. Mr. Chairman,
Tom, myself, Cynthia Knoppick, Al, Raul, and Dave are all agreed with the motion, just so you know, and just for the record. Okay, because I know you did ask earlier for a roll call vote. That's all commission members, so it's unanimous. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, and council, and staff. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate your patience. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, item number 11, payment of bills. I have one from Malone and Perum. There's a motion to pay bills if deemed correct. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Raul. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Raul. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion to adjourn. Thank you very much, and thank you for your comments from the public. It's much appreciated.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
It's 8:38 p.m.